go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben. Hey, Scott, I have a question for you.
I sound a little distressed. What's going on?
I'm a little bit mixed up, man. I'm kind of confused.
Why is that?
Let me just ask you straight out. What is an M-car?
Oh, boy. I'm going to have to rub my head on this one for a while I talk to you, because I'm not exactly sure how to frame this in the right way that won't make a certain segment of people angry. Mm-hmm. While yet still appealing to the other. It's just a tough argument to make about what exactly an M-car is. Now, I can tell you the kind of the definition of it, I suppose. Maybe the factory version. You want
all right,
that?
Lay it on me.
An M-car is a car that was developed for motorsports by a performance division of BMW. BMW Motorsport, that's why you get the BMW M. The M stands for motorsport. It's been changed later on. It's just strictly M, but, It's really a point of contention among BMW owners and owners of other high-end German automobiles that like to argue with the BMW M owners.
Cough, cough, Audi, cough.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, the thing is that it's a car, and I guess I can just tell you this, it's in its simplest form, it's a car that was developed for motorsports. And it was developed by this in-house tuning division of BMW.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe the most succinct way to put it. And I'll tell you the reason that I'm kind of hem and haw about what, you know, what to say, what not to say,
mm-hmm.
is that there's a lot of people that will argue back and forth that, you know, even cars that currently have the M badge are not true M cars.
Right. They're just called M badged cars, mm-hmm. which is a tricky definition. Now, just to let the cat out of the bag or the badger out of the, I don't know, barn or whatever about this, I'm asking this question because I found some of the same very contentious things. You know what it reminded me of? It reminds me of the ongoing debate about what makes a muscle car.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's very much like that, in that some people are right strict to the letter
mm-hmm.
of this is the way it has to be and it can't be any other way.
Only between this year and this year.
Yep.
And only these models.
And it must meet all of these requirements, or if it even fails in one of these tests, it's not a true muscle car. And,
right.
And that is the way that a lot of people will argue about what a true M car is versus an M badged car. And I don't really know and I don't want to focus the whole podcast on that. How about this?
Okay.
And that we talk about, you know, like just the M division's, goal, you know, like what they were originally designed to do, like where they come about in BMW's history. How about that?
Oh, great. Okay. So they start in 1972. They have 35 employees. Pretty small, kind of boutique, right?
35 employees. That's impressive.
That's 1972. Mm-hmm. By 1988, they have 400 employees.
Wow. Okay. I was impressed because it was such a small group, you know, that they were turning out some fantastic cars, you know, in the early 1970s, of course.
Right.
And all the way through, I mean, through today.
Mm-hmm.
But man, for them they've grown exponentially at that point.
Yeah. So their first official car comes out in 1978 at the Paris Motor Show, and that is the BMW M1. It's an M badged car.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just listeners, just so you know, Scott and I being aware of the ongoing debate about what actually makes an M car, we may use some terms interchangeably. We may be a little bit fast and loose for your taste, but we do understand that there's an argument there.
And I also want to point out that, you know, this is around and is founded in 1972. And they're a performance division of BMW.
Mm-hmm.
They were around since 1972. They were producing cars. They were just producing strictly race cars.
Right.
They were strictly track performance cars. And it was just BMW's motorsports division. That's what the M stands for, motorsport.
Mm-hmm.
And 1978, the BMW M1 supercar, that just happens to be the first road car that they produced.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. The first car that the average person could buy to drive on the average road.
Okay. All right. You said average. Now, I'm laughing already because
I know.
If you look at the BMW M1, it is a true supercar. It's a and it's one of these deals where it's a I'm going to mess up the name, the homologation special, in that, you know, they built just so many that they had to build for street use. That they could compete in a certain
race. So that they could qualify for the race.
Exactly.
That's a good point. And what makes me laugh is I knew you were going to bust me on that, Scott, because the M1 really is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, what's a good comparison? It's not as if they just kept the M1 or the M kind of brand and then made a sedan. No, they took the track car and they made, you know, 100 something or however many they had to make.
I will tell you how many they made. By the end, they made 430 cars, and about 35 to 40 of those were actual race cars, and the rest were available to the public. Now, I'm going to say, Ben, you said a wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm going to say it's like a big wolf in a small wolf's clothing, because the M1 is a fantastic looking car, I think, personally.
Yeah.
It does have that supercar look.
Yeah.
Now, it was built and produced so they could compete in what they called the Pro Car Championship at the time. And in December of 1981, Car and Driver took this car for a test drive. They took the road car and the race car for a drive. Now, remember, this is a mid-engine car, had an inline six-cylinder engine with 3.5 liter, which people might not think too much of, you know, that's not too big. But again, a mid-engine car, that's something special, I'll tell you.
Yes.
There's front-engine cars, there's rear-engine cars.
There are not that many mid-engine cars.
Mid-engine cars are usually, you know, wildly insane to driving. They're balanced so well. They're all about racing, really.
Mm-hmm.
277 horsepower, which isn't a whole lot. And I just want to mention that, you know, if you read a lot of these, specs about, you know, the early BMW cars, you're going to see them listed as, like 277 PS. And, that's a German way to abbreviate horsepower. And
right.
I won't even attempt the German word for horsepower, but, PS is what that is. So,
okay.
You know, as you look down the list and you see PS listed, that's really horsepower. That's the German version of it. Now, the M1 production vehicle, it halted in 1980. You know, it was 1978 to 1980. Again, 430 cars, 35 to 40 of those were race cars. And the reason it stopped being made was because the sedans, were actually starting to make more money for the company. And, they decided that, you know, these street legal race cars that they were building, you know, these M1 cars, which really, that's what they are. They're street legal race cars. As were the case with a lot of the Group B cars that we talked about in a previous podcast.
Right.
They weren't really making money for the company. You know, they're probably, I don't say they're losing money, but they weren't making a lot of money like they were from their standard production sedans.
Right.
So they focused on the sedans.
Yeah. And that brings us to the M535i. Is that correct?
I think so.
Yeah. Starts in 1979. The stats are a little bit different. It's still a 3.5 liter. It gets 219 PS or horsepower.
Yeah.
And, they make quite a few more. They make over 1,400 of these guys.
Yeah, and they also made another one called the, there was a 6 Series Coupe that they made,
mm-hmm.
The M635 CSI. And, the 635 CSI, you can take a look at photos of these things, but they're all really beautiful cars from the 1970s to the early 1980s. I think it was about, man, I think it was like in the 1984 or so, I think, when the M1 engine was used in that 635 CSI coupe that I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and in the 5 Series sedan that you mentioned as well. So it's the same M1 engine that's brought over to those two cars.
Right.
You know, different layout. It was a front engine, of course.
And the coupe is outselling them all. The 635 is hitting just under 6,000.
Now, this is an important part of BMW's history here, I think, anyways.
Okay.
The first M3. 1986. Now M3, that's a true M car, as a lot of people will like to tell you. And I don't want to get into this whole argument of what's a true M car, what's not. But, the first M3, again, this was also built, and the initial cars were built as, again, homologation specials. Race car for the street is what they call it. It was definitely all about, performance and horsepower and driver feel and, you know, all that stuff, all the good stuff that drivers like to have. And, it was less about, you know, acoustics and, you know, trying to make the road
right.
noise go away,
yeah.
and less about ride quality and other than, you know, we want it to corner hard. This car, again, the 86 M3, the first M3 car to hit the shores, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And people loved it. It was a success, and the M3 version, the M3 is popular all the way through today.
Yeah. Oh, yes. The present generation M3 was introduced in 2008 with a couple of body styles, coupe, convertible, sedan. That last one, the sedan, I believe was discontinued after 2011. That was more for people who were trying to have their cake and eat it too. I'm just going to be fair when I say that. I'm being tough but fair, Scott, because it was for people who wanted that M3 beast performance, but then also said, you know, I want to be practical about it. I want to... A little bit of a half measure. I'm not saying it was awesome. It wasn't an awesome car, but I'm saying that, you know me, man, I'm not an 8.5 yards guy. If I'm going to get an M3.
Go the full nine. Understood. So 1993, just a few years later, I know you've kind of jumped up to the front
But
going back in 1993, I think we have to because BMW Motorsport, which is now the BMW M that we were talking about,
right.
They actually changed their name to BMW M. And then it was the GmbH, which I think is kind of like the European version of an LLC, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I think that's what that stands for. But you see the capital G, small mb, and then capital H, and I think that's LLC, or similar to what we call that in the United States. But they go on to create a lot of different versions, or M versions, of just about every BMW streetcar. So, you know, from 1993 on, you're going to see a lot of M version cars coming out of BMW.
M5, M8, M3, the M Roadster.
Yeah, there's just a huge long list. And again, just about everything that BMW made, they made an M version of these things. Now, they started to use a lot of, like turbo technology, turbocharging. The M side of the factory, I guess, if you want to call it that, or the M side of the company, has decided that, you know, to meet the increasing power needs, they're able to add a turbocharger, to boost some of the horsepower and some of the performance. Even some of the SUVs are carrying an M badges these days. So, there's M powered vehicles out there everywhere, really.
Mm-hmm. And before we go on any further, okay, so we're back then with BMW M Series. Now, we mentioned, as you said, that there's an M version of pretty much every vehicle that that BMW is creating now. And we should also mention that BMW Motorsport GmbH has been working with some people that you might recognize, the McLaren F1 team. Scott, they supplied the V12 motor for the McLaren F1.
No kidding. So they're building F1 engines for cars for McLaren through BMW. Now BMW used to have their own F1 team, so that's kind of interesting that they would work with McLaren. But
yeah,
okay, got it.
Well,
okay.
And I said motor, I meant engines.
But that's all right.
But this F1 went on to win the 24-hour of Le Mans in 1995, and I just want to put that side note in there to show that BMW Motorsports is not, they're chiefly making BMW cars, but it's not crazy for them to supply engines. Like, their expertise is recognized throughout their field.
Understood. And if competition's going to them and saying, you know, we like what you do, help us out here. You know, what can you do to provide us with an engine or some of that power? We'd like that. Of course they're going to help them out. I mean,
praise.
I would think so, yeah, because, I mean, the word gets around that, you know, you're providing engines for McLaren. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and then just again to reiterate some stuff here about the idea of M-badged cars. M-badged cars are vehicles that have been modified somehow by BMW Motorsport.
Yeah, I guess we didn't really cover that, really.
We didn't talk about that.
We talked about true M cars. We talked about people that argue that they're not true cars, that they're badged cars, they're M-badged cars.
Right, yeah.
So the badged cars, how are they different?
Okay, yes, great question. It really goes down to some of the performance accessories. So there have been, like a true M car. For most people, again, not to ruffle any feathers here, a true M car would be something like an M3 or an M5. They've got M in the name.
Understood.
But an M badged car would be something that had factory option M badged accessories, or maybe an M sport package, you know, and that is different from the regular sport package.
So it's not a full out M car. It's got performance accessories that are included in the vehicle in an M package, and then they do put the M badge on the back of the car.
Right. I was working on this earlier today. They are influenced. Huh?
No, okay, not bad, not bad, not bad.
It's the only one I'll do.
But I do want to point out, though, that, you know, this badging, this M badging, which is kind of a big deal, because, you know, you look for the badge on the back end of the car, the M badge with the ribbons, you know, the three ribbons that signify with the colors. There are a couple of cars that, you know, will have that on there that are, they're simply M Sport packages or whatever, you know, that they've added on these things. There's also the exceptions, which are, the Z cars, the Z3 and Z4, which are M powered vehicles. They don't have the M badge on the back of the car, however.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a different thing. There's a couple of other vehicles, I think, that don't have the M badge on them. There's the exceptions, which are,
Like the Roadster and the Coupe models?
Well, yeah, the Roadster is one that I just mentioned, the Z card vehicles, but then there's a couple other that have like these nomenclature problems. Like, here's a good example. There's the X6 based M vehicle.
Oh,
all right,
yeah.
So you remember the X5 and the X6, right? Now these are kind of like, I'd say the X5, I almost want to say it looks like a crossover minivan type vehicle.
Yeah.
But that's not really being fair to it.
It's my favorite.
It's a strong car, I'll tell you that, the X5. But the X5M, now if they called it the MX5, you can see the problem with that. That's, the MX5 is the Mazda Miata.
Yep.
So they can't call it that. And I guess there's the MX6, which I think Mazda also uses. So they can't call it that. So they had to kind of reverse this, and it's called the X5M and the X6M. So that's the difference in that one. Now, I do also want to say that, you know, in addition to, you know, the cars that just simply aren't badged that way, there are other cars that are badged that way that, you know, people say aren't true M cars. And then again, that gets back to the sport packages and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like the, 1 Series.
Yeah. That's a good example. But I'm talking about going back even farther, Ben. Like back to the 1970s when they started all this.
Uh-huh.
BMW offered M options on their standard vehicles since the late 70s, which kind of explains why they also carry the M badges straight in the factory. So, all the way from the 1970s, they've been offering these M badge vehicles that have performance parts from the motorsports division, but weren't truly developed as a motorsports vehicle.
I see.
Right from the very beginning. And
that's where
all this arguing comes in. I mean, Audi S Series owners, they will argue all day long with BMW M Series owners about what's a true M car, what's not a true M car.
Right.
And I think you and I were talking about this, and it just gets down to, a lot of the way that people feel about their car.
Right. How do you feel about the performance, the acceleration, the handling? How does it turn on a corner?
You know what? And if you have an M badged car, one that, you know, just has performance accessories and items, you know, upgraded items from BMW M division, your car is going to handle fantastic. It's still a BMW. It's still going to have these upgrades that are going to make it drive and feel fantastic. You're going to be excited about your own car. You're going to be, and it's going to be badged an M car, but it's not a true M car. Sometimes it's not a true M car. Sometimes it is. And that's where this confusion comes in. And people, again, it's just this ongoing headbutting back and forth between, you know, true M car owners, M badge car owners, Audi S series car owners who love to pipe in there and say that, you know, they argue about what's not an M car, what is an M car, how the S series cars are better. And then, of course, M car owners say that M cars are better than S series and so on and so on, Ben. It's just this, it becomes this great big tangled mess.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's kind of like it's in the eye of the beholder. Well, that's not totally correct, because there are some hard and fast rules about what actually makes something at least M-badged or an M-car. However, we do need to point out, I want to emphasize the point that you made earlier, Scott, regardless of which variety you have or who you're arguing with about this, the truth is that if you are driving an M badge or an M car, you're going to have some incredibly amazing performance. There aren't really losers in that conversation.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's they're amazing cars. They really are.
And hopefully we have answered a little bit about the history of BMW Motorsports. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you drive an M car or an M badged car, why not let us know? Send us some pictures. If you're wondering if your car does qualify as an M car, sure, we'll be the authorities.
No. Don't come to us with that. You know, you need to talk it out on the forums with somebody.
All right. Okay. So you're probably right, Scott. You're probably right about that. But if you guys have any suggestions for upcoming episodes, some feedback, or as always, some lovely pictures of your vehicle, drop us a line on Facebook. You can also send us a tweet on Twitter or write to us directly. Our email address is
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.